Hey everyone, this is Doug, your probably least favorite host of the show. If I'm not your least favorite yet, I sure as fuck will be by the end of this episode. Just wanted to say that all the views that I loudly express in this episode are mine and mine alone. And please, you know, it's not that of the network, so please don't cancel your Patreon or anything like that because of me. I'm a piece of shit. I have shitty opinions. I'm a real fuck ass. So I hope you enjoy the show. We'll hopefully see you next time.
And welcome to episode 224 of the 8-Bit Geek. Is this your first time here? Me too! Yeah. Want to know what 8-Bit Geek is like? Well, it's easy. It's like raising a child, you know? It's born, you have no fucking idea what's going on, but you instantly love it. And then it starts keeping you up at night, and then you need to feed it and nurture it, and all it does is bitch and cry. Then you start to have like a love-hate relationship with it, and it's like starts talking back to you all the time, and all of a sudden you go gray because they never listen to you anymore. And just as you lose hope, they do something totally amazing to redeem themselves and make you proud. I'm Jeremy. With me today are two men who wear diapers while recording so they don't have to get up.
I wear diapers all the time. Don't even pretend. Well, I'm Doug.
And I'm down to two diapers a day. I'm Kevin.
Wait a minute. No, you're not.
You don't sound like Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I'm Caleb.
I'm waiting for the chat to just fucking go nuts because you're on the show.
Oh, it's been happening. They pretty much, some of the first things they said were, hey, Kev shaved. Hey, Kev, when Kev grow hair? Hey, Kev got hot. Hey, Kev lost a lot of weight.
Wow.
We have a guest on our show because Kev cannot be here. He's in Hawaii, Alaska, Maine, doing some kind of recon work or sex with his wife. So we brought in an actual talent. This kid has gone to 4 years of Juilliard. He's studied with President Obama. He has been to Japan. He's been to India. He's traveled the world, the continents, and probably your wife. Okay. This is where you come in.
Totally enjoying this bullshit Wikipedia entry that you've written about me. But I love it. I have been to Japan.
You haven't been to Japan?
Been to Japan. I haven't been to India.
But you have been to Japan, but not
sure.
India.
Yeah, trained under Obama for a good amount of time. I did not go to Juilliard.
But there's so many
different facts that people are gonna like write down in a bio at some point because of this episode. So thanks a lot for that.
No problem. If anybody wants to start building a Wikipedia page with the stuff that I've listed, you may go ahead and do that.
Let's say, or just create like an 8-bit wiki with all of our characters and every information we've ever given about them over time.
Oh my God.
That way their backstory is going to be right now.
How do we have that just yet?
How do we not have an 8-bit wiki?
Yeah.
That'd be dope. Mm. If a fan, we can't do it ourselves because you can't write a wiki about yourself. But if a fan has the want or the need to go do that, then that would be completely okay with me.
I love it. I realize that I'm actually reverse Kevin. I have nothing down here and a whole lot up here.
That's true. And since this is an audio format, we're going to say that you don't have a beard, but you do have a head of hair.
This is an audio medium.
I feel like somebody's going to be able to understand that.
If people don't know who you are, let them know where you have come from and how you're a part of the 8-Bit Geek Network.
Yeah, what rock did you crawl out from underneath?
What rock did I? I got super lucky because I met Doug when we was in sixth grade, fifth grade.
Fifth.
Just the transition of fifth or sixth grade, and we met at soccer camp. So we were kicking each other's balls around. And we hit it off. And we've been really, really good friends ever since. And then Doug got into this, obviously. And like a little puppy, I followed him around. And just tried to be a part of everything that Doug does. That's about it.
I mean, and you're a part of the...
And then I got my start on the 8-Bit Saga doing the voice of Kale D-Bag, which ended up being one of like the best things that I've ever been able to be a part of.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. Wow.
Holy
Lost
shit.
Boy.
Lost Boy just cheered 1,000.
Thanks, Lost Boy.
I like to think that I did that.
If you like what's going on, if you want to hear more, you can always subscribe to us and rate us on Audioboom. They provide us with all of our bandwidth. We thank them for that. So thank you for being our humble sponsors. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and anywhere else that you would find a podcast. You can also follow us on social media at the 8-Bit Geek. And, of course, every Monday night we record live here on Twitch. And you can follow along and chat with us, be a part of the show. If you somehow aren't available every Monday night or any other day of the week, you can always go ahead and hit us up on Discord and join the conversation there. Meet your favorite stars, our D-grade stars. We're not even that high. It's like Z-grade right now. We're like Z-grade celebrities.
That's good. In my book, mm-hmm. Z grade.
Hey, we're on the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. We're there. We're 26th place, but hey, we placed.
I was saying, like, I think we're probably more like on the hexagonal alphabet, or whatever it's called.
Special characters.
Like, we're A or no, that's not even right. We're like Z Y Z 16.
But we're there.
If we are an emoji, we're the flag emojis at the very back. We're Zimbabwe. You got to scroll to us. But we're good. We're there.
And, of course, we want to talk about our other shows. If you enjoy this show, you may enjoy some of these. We do 8-Bit Legends. We have Divas Dropkicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts, 8-Bit Saga, and, of course, Garbage Day. So check any of those out, and let's cross-pollinate, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. Also,
birds and bees reference.
If you'd want to support us, you can. You could do that with Patreon. Listen, everybody and their mother has a Patreon nowadays, okay? It's a great way to support the people that you love that's making content. There's a lot of people out there making content. I'm not saying that you shouldn't give to them, but you should definitely think about giving us money first. We have a lot of cool stuff that we want to do for you, and one of them is our $5 goal. If you hit $5 a month to us, then you'll get extra content, like a pre-show and a post-show and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And right now, Caleb just finished editing a special 8-Bit Saga episode, and it's called the Kevisode. And it's a one-shot with Mr. Kevin when he came into town. That's going to be releasing very soon on Patreon. It's a Patreon exclusive, so make sure you get your $5 reward in there, and so that way you don't miss it.
Really soon, as in like a month.
Mm-hmm. A month? Really?
Yeah, because I'm not going to release it on Patreon until after the current storyline is caught up, because there are spoilers aplenty in that episode because of how we recorded it. So I want to make sure that
and everything that I kept in
early still aren't spoiled for things I haven't heard yet. So we got to get there in the actual show first.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes here. And I can't wait because this is going to be Caleb's first Misconnections. What is Misconnections if you're new? Every week we take real ads from the Misconnection section of Craigslist. We read them in funny voices. They are completely real. We don't edit them in any way, but we definitely can't make this stuff up.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
All right. Where's Where's that pesky little man?
Are you talking about me?
Hey, Sean.
Am I pesky?
Well, I mean, you're lovable and I like you. But I guess
feisty.
Yeah, feisty. Let's go with feisty.
I'll take feisty any day of the week. like my ladies.
We got feisty. We have a oh, I'm sorry, what?
Feisty.
We've got a special guest on the show. It's Caleb.
Hey, what's up, Sean?
I literally just saw you like 2 days ago. Fuck it, whatever.
We've been hanging it out. We've been hitting up the bars down on 7th Street whole lot.
Like, we recorded that episode of Saga on Saturday. And then, remember how he didn't go to IHOP with you guys? Because he and I went to 7th Street and hit up the bars.
What are you talking about? He texted and said that he went to he went to Denny's.
This is an actual true story.
That's where we met up.
Oh, so you didn't eat there, and you did? I'm pretty sure you didn't go to the bars.
No, we did. There were bars
next to Denny's. Involved.
Yeah, the bars next to Denny's.
Oh, there were bars. You get food first at Denny's, and then you hit up the bars afterwards as a rule. You never hook up with chicks on an empty stomach.
That's right. Then you don't have any fuel.
Yeah. Denny's is the perfect food right before a passionate night of hooking up with ladies.
I mean, because we didn't eat anything. I guess, you know, Daniel, who plays Chubra, brought a box of tacos, like a pizza box of tacos. But even then, like, no one really ate that much. So you had to eat something before, you know, drinking and then fucking. And then the rest of the night.
Yeah, Caleb. Is that a sword?
It is not a sword. In the corner of my screen, there is an easel that is taken down and propped up against the wall.
Cool. It does kind of look like a sword, though.
It does. It looks like a broadsword. I should have just gone with it. Yeah, it's part of my Final Fantasy cosplay.
That's cool, Caleb. So what do you got for a Sean today?
Yeah, Sean.
This one goes out to the Latina with huge boobs and a fat ass on the N train in Union Square. This is back when I guess I was in New York. I was getting on the N train for my commute back to Brooklyn Thursday, May 25th, around 5:30. And you were the very attractive Latina with the huge boobs busting out of your T-shirt. We both got on at Union Square, and you were wearing a dark blue T-shirt with jeans, and you wore glasses with curly brown hair. I wanted to talk to you. Let me start that sentence over again. I wanted to talk to you, but you sat across from me and fell asleep. I tried my best not to stare, but I was getting turned on by your enormous boobs and curvy body. I was the tall and handsome white guy with green eyes and full lips. Before I knew it, I had a huge erection.
Oh, no.
And my big, monstrous white cock was bulging through my dress pants, so I had to put a bag over it and cover it up.
Yeah, Sean.
I mean, the thing is, like, when I said put a bag over it, I mean, I put a condom on.
The no reason boner.
And then I put my work satchel over that. But you got off at 36, and while you got up, your jeans were falling down, and I got a glimpse of that sexy thong you were wearing.
Oh, no.
Damn, I should have talked to you. If you're reading this, I'd love to have some casual fun with you and have several face and body pics. If you're reading this, I would love to have some casual fun with you, and I have several face and body pics to trade. Any other sexy women who find this description, feel free to message me if you're into tall and super well-endowed white dudes. Yours truly, the most sincere white knight of all, Sean Finnis.
Super white knightish of you. Hold on, is that four? Three? No, there's at least three mentions of your dick size. They just casually work that in there.
I try to as much as I can.
I love it.
Somebody asked if Twitch has ever said anything about some of the stuff we say on here. Absolutely not.
I don't know.
He's actually related to me, Raging D-Bag. That's my cousin, Raging. Kale's cousin.
Hey, cuz. All right, let's see. We have a returning character. No new characters this week. Returning.
No new characters. Okay.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
What's up, girl?
How you doing?
It's my Russian little swig of vodka.
I am looking for men in all the wrong places. Would you like to be a right man, playboy? Yeah, I'm talking to you, Caleb.
Yeah, no, I'm into it.
I like your face. It looked good in between legs.
After this, PM me. Slide into those DMs, girl.
Hello, Sean.
What's up, you sexy beast?
I can verify that Sean has giant cock.
That's very generous of you to say publicly in front of all these people. I will slip you that $50 later.
You've got it. Okay. Sean, wish I didn't miss your dumbass. Woman for male, you know. Wish you weren't so fat and sloppy, you piece of shit. You were always just fat and icky. I really tried, but you lied and lied and lied. I only miss manly part of you and how you ate great pussy. I loved laying there with my legs spread wide while you... I cannot say. Mm. This is very dirty.
You... Jer picked this, so it's really interesting that Sarah is just reading it.
I can't say it. I loved laying there with my legs spread wide as you fingered and licked on...
Olga.
You were so dirty. It was great. I wish I had a private place to meet up. I just want to fuck again. Olga, out.
Oh, I like that sign off.
Was that about me?
Olga, mic drop.
Listen, I just want to know why you did. There's words you didn't say.
Wish you were so fat and sloppy.
Yeah.
You've lost lots of weight, Sean, but unfortunately,
if I fluctuate depending on the week,
not enough.
That's my age.
That is so good.
You get in gym, we see what happened.
I just really curious about that one line down at the bottom that you were kind of you wrote it, so I'm curious why you had so much trouble to read. You want me to read it for you? I can read what you're supposed to say.
Let's move on. It's too dirty. All right, let's get to Caleb. Caleb, this is your... Don't fuck this up.
This is my debut. Yeah, no, there's a lot of pressure, right? To do well.
Rand says, this is anti-porn.
Yeah, I really like that. So awkward, super awkward, frowny emoji face with a gun, a squirt gun to his head.
Rampage says, well, RIP Twitch partnership. Hey, good news, we're not partners, we're just affiliates.
Ryan says, Jer, read it. Ryan never wants that read. Get out of here.
Oh, I'm super... I haven't read anything but the title of this one, and I'm super nervous to read it. And I'm putting it right over y'all's faces so y'all don't fuck me up on this.
Okay.
Okay, so I people want me to do Kale's voice, obviously. I could do somebody else at another time.
You do whatever you want.
No, let's keep it saga friendly. Let's promote while I'm here. I'll I'll soccer promote. So I'll do Kale if I can get him in here. Which without the voice
the
modulation,
vocal effect?
It's just going to sound like George Bush. So that's fine. Let's do this one.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah, you're George Bush today.
Also, the title of this, I'm just going to have to change to fit Kale. So, sure. Yeah, sure, because I'm not Asian. So here we go. Hey, how's it going? What I want to know is, why is it so hard for an Asian guy to meet a black girl? I guess I should say Duros. I've already fucked it up.
Just go with it.
Why is it so hard? I'm an Asian Duros guy. Male for woman. Hide this posting. So, my body is fit. My height is a sweet, sweet 5'9". That's 175 centimeters for you Europeans out there. My status, single, age, 31. I'm in my prime. Let me start this this post off by saying hi. Seriously, why is it so hard? Yeah, I'm looking for a hookup. But yeah, I'm just a normal, nice, fun-to-be-with guy who's attracted to black girls. I'd like to meet someone cool, well put together, clear of STDs, intelligent, attractive, who enjoys a good old-fashioned, nice to meet you, let's be friends, and keep this going sex. Just an honest rant. That's it. Kale out. I stepped on Olga's a little bit, but I like the way she did it.
Hey, was that Kale?
Marky.
Hey, hold on. Let me get PN15 in here. One second.
What?
PN, hello?
Hey, the gang's all here. There's gonna be a party. What? It's gonna be for Marky.
Hey, the gang drinks beer.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's
no,
Mark.
I hear you. Yeah. It's no, but you're Mark Anobi. This is Mark Anobi.
Yeah,
this
of course.
This is a rare first appearance on the show.
This is a first for everybody. Hey, let me ask you something.
Friends. Yeah, what's up?
You did really good right there, okay? I was listening in.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say.
I saw you come in through the window. That was cool. It's weird. The door is open, but you just come in through windows. It's a super interesting fact about you.
Well, you know, I'm all about that show business, so I like to keep it fresh and funky.
Sure. Making an entrance.
Yeah.
They don't say which entrance to make it in.
Of course. Listen, I want to take you out for a beer after this.
All right.
You want to go for one of those?
Yeah. You want to meet me up at Rodeo Goat?
Yeah. Okay. I'll meet you there. And I'll bring like 14 shorties or something.
I love it.
Okay. And we'll go and get some beer, and then we'll get a burger, and then maybe we'll go get some like ice cream or something. PN, you want something?
Well, that's, you know, I feel like I have to go over this every time we talk about food and drinks with you guys. Robot.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Robot.
He feeds off that AC/DC.
Yeah.
Oh, you want some music?
Hold on.
I'm just gonna go back to my corner now and just chill in the back.
I really need to log this play date into my phone real quick. Let me just add a reminder here and a beep boop beep. Sorry, I just had to do at least one click in there for Ryan.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys get back to this show or whatever you're doing out there. Okay, bye.
Oh, and he's gone.
That's what he does. He's just in and out. That's how he makes his movies.
I love it.
It's just one day shoots.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Prima donna.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the top box office and what happened here in Hollywood. Cars 3 hits number one with 53.5 million, which is really underperforming.
Underperforming.
My son was really disappointed when I told him that it will not be getting a another one. You know, it won't. I was like, well, that's it for the trilogy. And he goes, but why, Dad? And I was like,
That's hard what a trilogy is, son.
Yeah, I was like, it's over. They won't make a fourth because Pixar doesn't do that. And, well, they do because Toy Story 4 is coming.
Yeah, I was like, Toy Story is about to.
But yeah. It also only made $53 million, and he was like, womp, womp.
Yeah, they'll have to revamp it in a new light if they're going to do four.
Yeah. But it ended really well. I went and saw it, and it was really dope. I liked it a lot. So
I liked the second one. A lot of people shit on the second one. I loved it.
Because that's a garbage movie.
It's not very good.
Damn it. No, I have to go back and
You know what also isn't again. Very good, though? Cars.
Cars.
This whole movie series sucks.
Well, yeah, John Lasseter's
wet dream project that just should have never have happened.
I enjoyed the first one, and I enjoyed the third one.
I enjoyed parts of the second one.
So, All Eyes on Me debuted as well, and that actually made $27.1 million. Which seems low, but that's actually it debuted higher than they expected. So it's a win for them, even though it got shit reviews and a 14% Rotten Tomato.
So, yeah.
If you want to see Tupac in a movie, maybe you should just watch Notorious. So.
Mm-hmm. And then he's without a shirt for most of that movie, I heard. So you're seeing his six-pack.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and send myself out of the room.
Yes! Oh, I love it. Listen, no. When I do puns, they absolutely hate it, so I am so glad someone is here. I appreciate it, okay? You keep them coming, buddy.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate the support while Jug just shakes his head in the corner.
He is the minority now.
This is the kind of the basis, not necessarily basis of our friendship, but like Caleb and I have been friends for so many years now. That he says jokes and everyone laughs, and
except
the rest
for the
of us
that know me.
Yeah, the rest of us just sit there,
they're done.
Just nod. Like, okay, once the charm's worn off, once you get to know them, mm-hmm. It's not funny anymore.
Two episodes, I say, by the second episode, people are done with it.
Not this guy.
Yeah, but I promise, dear. Just watch it a saga recording. like Ross and B and Daniel and Ed, just because Ed is very, very supportive, we'll all still laugh.
Ed likes my jokes.
But a lot of the times, Ed and I will sit there and just look at you.
That's true. There's a part in the Kevisode where Ed literally says, and here's a little excerpt from it. Ed goes, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny.
Yeah.
And I go, if you laugh, that counts. That's too late. You can't take it back.
The other film was Wonder Woman, and that just passed 500 million.
Gross.
Yeah, so it's doing really well still.
That was good.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. The fact that it's set in number two spot, what is it, seven?
It's down to number two. It only lost 40% over last week, which is, in Hollywood terms, like, that's fucking awesome.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So it's done really well. Let's get into some stories here, and we want to let everybody know that you should definitely pay attention to July 12th. That is going to be the internet-wide day of action to save net neutrality. All right, and there's a list of companies. It just keeps growing and growing and growing, and Netflix has signed on to do this as well. Seriously, if you don't want to lose the internet to regulations, and you don't want to lose it to paywalls, and you don't want to lose your privacy, you really need to do something about this. So Google it if you can. It's the day of action. It's coming up, and we're gonna fight, man. We're gonna fight for our freedom and our rights. And I think if all it takes is a couple clicks, then you need to do that as well. If all it takes is for you to call your congressperson, it takes a 5-minute phone call to leave a message and say this is what you want, because we can't afford to lose it. We can't.
No. And I did, I emailed like seven different things. There's a place that you can go online. Oh, crud. I should have looked up you guys might know the link. but it's basically like a, you sign up with your email and you click a button and it sends like 7 automated messages for you. You can tweak the messages, you know, to fit your own like verbiage and stuff like that. But essentially it's the same. It's like, please do not sign yes. So you send it to senators, you send it to these people that are backing this. And I've gotten like 3 responses, like automated responses, and it has pissed me off to no. I think I messaged the group whenever I got these emails back. It was somebody on behalf of the senator of Texas, you know, the state representative, was like, this is why this, I'm voting for this, and it's so good. And it was just drivel. It was 7 paragraphs of absolute BS. Like, I didn't do my own research. I don't have the facts in front of me. Oh, it's very frustrating to get those automated emails back. But it's still good to show your support.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You have to do it. You have to bear with it.
And this is the big one. Like, we've talked about it before, and there's been like, oh, this is going to happen. But this is really happening because it got passed. It got passed in the Senate. Now it goes to the House, and if the House passes it, it's going to be signed into as a bill, and the president's going to, sign it. So we need to do something about it. Please take action. July 12th, we're letting you know now. I understand nobody likes to stand for anything on the internet other than trolling, but troll your congressman.
It's going to take you longer to load cat pictures. You understand?
For real. The thing is, like, oh, like, they're talking about trolling and stuff too, but it's like, you know, I don't think you understand that, like, if net neutrality, like, gets overturned or whatever, and all this stuff, like, your ability to troll people is going to diminish greatly. Like, this affects you too, you fucking trolls. Like, so stop dicking around and actually fucking do something. Now, to be fair, they have in a lot of cases. We'll occasionally see 4chan and Reddit and all these other like group bases like take action and sway stuff, but like they really need to fucking pull it together again.
That's the thing, this is what's so good about the internet, yet so disappointing about this thing. We should have entire groups of people. It's going to be a reactionary thing. You know, they're going to take these rights away from us, and then people are going to rise up, but by that time it's going to be too late. It's going to take forever to reverse this legislature.
Yep.
It will. I mean, they'll see it and people will get pissed, and there's going to be a shit ton of rioting, you know, or as far as internet people go.
We're going to burn down some web pages.
We're going to burn this down. I mean, they even talked about it, they even did that day where it was like a fake loading screen. I don't know if you guys saw any of that.
Oh,
yeah. Like 2 years ago, I remember this starting like 2015. Because I remember Netflix being a part of it, because I remember going to their page and like before I could watch anything, it like let me know. Like, hey, you enjoying these speeds? Cool. Because if this happens, you may not have the ability to watch this at this high rate of a rate. Or if you want to, there's a possibility you could be charged more. I mean, like, this fucking sucks. Like, but good on Netflix for being a part of it. And yeah, I remember like Amazon had something going on. Like they had this, like, you know, just little alerts everywhere, just like, you know. But I vaguely remember the loading screen. I don't remember who it was for though.
Yeah, I think YouTube and several other video heavy websites did like a, ooh, don't like this loading screen? Well, maybe you should research this net neutrality thing, which is just fucking incredible to me.
I think that would be the best. I think that'd be the best way, right? If all these big companies just put a splash page that said. Sorry, your internet company is charging you $4.99 now in order to access this website.
Mm-hmm.
And then please, like, if the whole internet shut down for a day and did that, like...
It's not even going to be that apparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is it's going to be, ooh, why is this website taking so slowly? I'm just going to close this page and go to another one.
Mm-hmm.
People won't even notice. People won't even... notice half the time. I bet you anything
it'll be like your cable company right now, where you have packages and it's just like, I'll pay either $29.99 to access Netflix, Google, and another site, or I'll pay $99 a month on top of the $30 that I have to pay for my internet access in order to get every site. And it's just, it's gonna be fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends, again, on like who, what company are going to, if that goes into, if they get rid of net neutrality, it's still up to the companies on whether or not they're going to do that. And Charter, Spectrum Charter has said that they're not doing it. They're not going to charge you for visiting the website. That's why they don't, that's why they don't cap their internet now. And they're like, as long as you're doing stuff that's legal, we don't give a shit what you do. Like, we don't monitor, we don't keep track of where you've been.
That's good.
Cause I was asking back when I was having internet issues, if they had like the my usage. I was like, can I see my usage for the last few months? And they're like, we don't track that because we don't care. Right. Like, that's not important to us. And so I know they've come out and said that they're not going to charge monthly fees for the ability to access the web because that's not what they're about. They're just about giving you really shitty internet speeds.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, you may not see it from them because they may not do that to you, but they also can run and say, well, Netflix, you're using up a lot of our fucking bandwidth, so we're going to charge you extra. And then Netflix will have to turn around and say, well, fuck, now we have to raise our rates because we can't afford this shit from the mm-hmm. broadband companies. So it could play out a different ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but guess who has more subscribers than cable companies now?
Netflix.
Yeah. That was released on Saturday or Sunday. Netflix is the reason officially passed all cable companies for number of subscribers. Yeah.
Which is the reason why they weren't giving a shit about the FCC thing at first. They were like, we're too big. It doesn't really affect us. And now they've realized, even though it may not affect us and they may have the money to pay for it, it doesn't – I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Netflix being late to the game as far as the support – for the net neutrality goes. It seems like,
again, like 2 years ago, I remember they were like one of the front runners. It was like mm-hmm. them and maybe it's because maybe they don't think anything's going to happen from it. Maybe they're playing like this dude's not going to fucking do anything. And now it's moving forward. Maybe like, well,
maybe he is. Yeah.
The dude literally said, we're big enough to get the deals we want. And then I feel like somebody somewhere higher up in Netflix was like, no, they did a Home Alone slap their face. No, why would you say that?
Yeah. And when your competitors are a part of it, like Amazon and stuff, like because of Prime, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that may also be motivation. Well, let's see who else joins. Oh, shit. Amazon.
Oh, there's a huge list. If you Google it. And actually there's probably a link in the
oh for sure. I'm just saying that's probably what they're thinking, like, okay, let's see who else jumps on board first, and then they're like, oh shit, Amazon,
there's
oh shit, Hulu. Oh, like God. But
look at, I mean, if you want to look in the chat, like, oh yeah, somebody already posted it, but it is
that's where I signed up. Good
shit
job.
Shit ton of companies have signed up for this. So anyways, let's move on to something else here, which we'll talk about. DC firms. So
DC, the firm of DC.
The lawyers of DC have changed
their paperwork. Batman, DC Esquire.
They're going to change the way that they do business. Now they're going to be going all digital instead of using paper at trials.
We're going green.
They're also going to get rid of all their pens and just use pencils at the firm.
We have a cap on how many copies we can make per day,
and then it's 10 then it's 10 cents per copy. After
we print one script and we all read it together
in the same room. You done with that, John? Yeah, pass it over to Bill.
Okay, now talk what you're gonna talk about.
DC Films is going to ditch the dark and gritty vibe and make movies more fun. Yay. So this is.
So what I'm hearing is,
yeah,
we're going to try to be as much like Marvel as we can. We fucked up bad.
I have my own opinions about this one, but I will let you guys recap before I mouth off about it.
I think they need to, because I think after, especially Wonder Woman, where it was like definitely the most lighthearted of the movies we've seen so far. Although Suicide Squad was funny, it was still garbage, mm-hmm. but like, you know, it was more fun than Man of Steel or Bats v Supes, right? But like Wonder Woman was light and funny and a lot of great action without being like super dark and really gritty and stuff. And it worked. And it worked very well, clearly, by their numbers. I don't know. Yeah, I think with bringing in Joss Whedon, that they're like, let's try to do the Marvel thing. We're just a little late, so we're going to be like, try to play it off cool. No one, maybe no one will notice.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, to a point, yeah, but I still think that they keep their... I think Wonder Woman is a great example of the direction that they stay and they go, because like it was still like had that DC look to it, you know.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this, like, what, gritty? How is it not gritty? It was still super, like, I felt like it kept the same feel. Maybe not dark and grungy, but it definitely had that superhero DC feel to it that was different than Marvel.
It had the DC aesthetics, but it had the Marvel heart.
Yeah, that's true. So, the feel good. I guess that's what you're talking about. The general feel good vibe.
Yeah.
The night is just darkest before the day, sort of deal.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing about Marvel movies is that, you know, one, they haven't really, and this is, we've talked about this before on the show, one of our biggest issues with the Marvel Universe is that there's no...
consequences.
Because there hasn't been any dire consequence yet.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, oh, the world's going to end, but, like, we haven't seen...
The world really end.
Yeah, the world end, or, like, a big character eat it.
Mm-hmm. Superman. You know?
For like half a second.
Yeah, but did you care? Yeah. Did you ever
worry about Superman? No one worried.
No one. And that was the problem with the first movies as well.
But you worried.
I was never once worried about Superman or his friends.
But this movie made you worry. Like, Wonder Woman.
I super cared. This is my opinion on this whole make the movies fun thing is. It's not what made Wonder Woman good, and the grittiness of Batman v Superman is not what made those movies bad. It was simply the writing. It was simply, you can have Christopher Nolan doing his own thing and make it gritty. Go ahead.
I think I can name the writing symptom that these movies failed from. I think I can put a name on it. I think I can name what that is, and it's called Zack Snyder. It's a fucking piece of shit.
He's a terrible director for this stuff.
He's a terrible writer. He's a terrible director. He's a great visionary. He can fucking see things in a crazy way that makes movies really entertaining to watch. His movies, like, that's what makes them fun.
Are you just talking about slow motion?
I'm talking about his slow motion.
Zack Snyder can see things. In slow motion.
Well, I'm pretty sure he does a lot of crack, and so I'm pretty sure that's how he sees all those things very slowly.
Can you imagine him?
Is that he sees everything really slow because his mind is going like 1,000 miles an hour.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
Can you pour me some coffee? Yeah, I got it. I got your coffee.
He probably was sitting there watching, like, as a young man. He's like watching The Matrix, and he just goes, "Well, that's it." That's my shtick.
What if I slowed it down not once, but 28 times in this scene? And to be fair, they definitely did their own share of homage to that technique in Wonder Woman. I don't know. It's like, it was almost to me kind of like, ooh, by the way, Zach, this is how you do that trick and also write a good movie.
Yeah.
You piece of crap.
I mean, what I like is that, like, yeah, because he does it to, like, emphasize, like, the brutality of scenes when someone's, like, catching a knee in their chest or the sitting up, and it's just, like, makes it super violent. For her, it was, like, less look at how violent this is and more, like, look at her goddamn grace as she's spinning on the floor and doing all these things. All these poor fucking mortal humans are trying to shoot her with guns. Those stupid men. That's what it was. That was all about these stupid men. Can't do anything right. Zack Snyder can't shoot a scene. These guys can't shoot Wonder Woman.
Justice League should be the title of this movie because they did it justice.
Oh,
yeah. This is the first movie that I feel like they've done it justice. I don't think they need to go into brighter, though. Brighter and more sunshine and more ponies.
No, I don't think so either.
Especially not for Batgirl.
I think that's the thing. I think they were still going to get a DC movie. I just think that they've learned their lesson now, just like just like Marvel has learned their lessons while starting up their company. And it'll still be DC, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe don't. I feel like dark and gritty is not the thing to concentrate on. It was make characters that people not only look up to, relate to, but care about. And that's what this movie did. Yeah. Simply put, they want to talk about all of the effects and other stuff and break it down. But seriously, you just created the first DC character that I actually tolerate, appreciate, and want to see more of after 130 minutes.
They created a character that DC not only wanted but needed.
Mm. Mm. It's not the it's not the DC character they deserve.
Yeah. let's see. Let's talk here. Okay, let's get deep for a second. We didn't mention this last week, and it was something that I wanted to put in the notes, but it was all E3, so I wanted to talk a little bit about it. We lost a Batman a couple weeks ago, and Adam West passed away. And if you don't know who Adam West is, you definitely need to look him up. The 1960s Batman did something for me that it's very special to me. So I kind of wanted to pay tribute a little bit. Los Angeles lit up the skyline and I guess a building with the bat signal for Adam West. And that was an awesome send off. It's really, really cool. I don't know about you two, but Adam West to me was how I got introduced into the Batman mythos. And I didn't have comics as a kid, and I didn't I didn't know anything about Batman until I saw Adam West don the cape. And for me, that was it. That's how I fell in love.
I think Batman for me began with the animated series. As far as I can remember, I also did watch a lot of these Batman 66 with my dad, like the movies and the TV show. I specifically remember the movies or the movie because of the scene on the top of the submarine or whatever, where they're fighting and then flipping off into the ocean, which was clearly a fucking soundstage. So bad.
And are you then, talking like, about the
shark
movie?
Repellent?
Oh, yeah. The shark they were in the helicopter for that one. They're in the backcopter.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's the shark repellent and all that, like, good stuff. But I think it was the animated series that really, like, brought me into the, like, Batman mythos more than anything.
Sure.
But I don't know. I remember I grew up with a pool. And so, like, we used to, like, do the Batman fight, like, on the edge of the pool and fall into the pool and stuff. Like, how cheesy it was, like, recreating it, because it was, to us as kids, so amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, good.
Like, oh, yeah. So
I definitely loved and respect the hell out of Adam West's character. It's almost like you saw a man who was playing a ridiculous version of what Batman was back then. And he took it. Like the perfect balance of serious and not serious. Him between him and Burt Ward, they knew exactly what they were doing. No. Playing.
We also got to think Batman in the '60s. Batman's just like around that time. Batman was completely different than the Batman we have today because that was before all these 1950s dark
1950s comic. Yeah,
that was
yeah.
before. That was before Frank West.
High waisted.
Frank Miller. Sorry.
Frank. Yeah, Mae West.
That was before Frank Miller got a hold of it and like Frank made Zappa. It this dark, grungy. You know, like what we got, and then also before Tim Burton got it and like made that into that like weird Gotham, which is
sure
you still kind of see a lot of that today. Also, just that kind of like
we can all just agree
still turn of the century like kind of design and things where it's still very Victorian era.
We can all just agree that it's the most pure Batman. It is. I mean, as far as a moral standpoint,
from a moral standpoint,
the most pure. Kind-hearted, good guy Batman. No conflict with anybody but evil.
And he always stood up for what was right, and there's always a message in every episode for somebody, and I was okay, so this is how in love with the TV show I was. I've told this story before in 8-Bit, but you're gonna fucking listen to it again. I sat there one day when my family was going to the New York State Fair, and they said, Jeremy, we're going to go to the fair today, and I love the fucking fair. It was free day. Free day, the first day of the New York State Fair, and you get to ride the fucking rides and get in for free. And so I'm all for that. But what happened was is that they were having a Batman marathon on TV, and I passed on the fair for Batman. That's how much I loved this show. And so Adam West means so much to me. And it's really sad that he's gone. And I hope he rests in peace. And I really regret not getting a photo with him or shaking that man's hand when he was in Dallas.
Yeah, you know what? I felt like a real piece of shit. Because you wanted to do the Batman photo. And I was like, I'm not feeling it. I feel fat today. I don't want to take a photo. And so we didn't do it. But like my boss and one of my coworkers did it. Now, they didn't let him sit in the car. They stood in front of the car.
Mm-hmm.
But they stood in front of the car with Burt Ward and Adam West. So, and they did, I mean, it's crazy to think that they literally just did that 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I read an article that really pissed me off. And it was simply the one line that said, you know, Adam West, the man who was original Batman and struggled later in life to get roles. And I was like, whoa. First of all, the man just died. Second of all, you're saying he struggled? I fucking love him in every Family Guy episode that he's ever shown up in.
Yeah.
Made me fall in love with him even more so, to be honest, than, you know, I wasn't a part of the Batman original era.
If he had trouble finding, I can understand if maybe he had troubles finding roles from like maybe after Batman on until later in life. But he in the last 15, 20 years has had another round of success, not only in like the convention circuit stuff, because please and thank you. But yeah, as Mayor West on Family Guy, and all the voiceover work he's done for various video games and TV shows and cartoons and movies and all that stuff that he's done. Get the fuck out of here with that. Like,
yeah, it really pissed me off. I stopped reading the article as soon as I read that. I was just like, I'm going to go to somebody who appreciates the entire body of his work and not just to throw a low point in there sound dramatic. Yeah.
I saw another article on the flip of that where it was like Adam West was such a badass in the 60s that he once slept with 8 women in one night.
Damn.
It was like, what? That's some James Bond shit. Get
easy
out of here.
There, Wilt Chamberlain.
That's awesome. So we'll wrap this up by saying this. If you haven't given the 1960s Batman show a chance, they've remastered it. It's in HD.
Nice.
You
it
can
looks
download
so good.
Them.
It looks
it is
so good.
Amazing.
Boom.
It's amazing.
And I don't think that's on Netflix, but I do know that the Batman 66 movie is on Netflix. It is. I will let you know. It has some phenomenal moments. Overall, it is a little slow. So if you're not into like sitting down for something that kind of drags at times, I understand. But there's shark repellent.
Am I hearing something? Did somebody in the chat mention drunk movie Batman night?
Oh, that would be amazing.
I think I could have sworn somebody said that.
Oh,
I'll tell you right
I'm
now,
so
no one
dumb.
Said that. I definitely said that. But yeah, I really
like,
want to watch the Batman movie.
I was really excited to look through the chat and see you.
Yeah, I looked through it too. I was like, wait, where does that say that at?
Hold on. Hey, y'all should watch Batman Drunk Movie Night. Cool. It's canon. All right.
Let's do it. Also, before he died, he did a voiceover. They did a new animated movie for the 1966 Batman, and that's brand new. You should definitely watch that, and it has a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. And so
that one was really cool because the Batman 66 animated one, because they actually got him and Burt Ward to do it, which I had a lot of questions about how they were going to make Burt Ward sound like he was fucking 19 again.
Yeah.
And then they got like Julie Newmar, whoever played one of the Batgirl? Batgirl. I don't remember who she played. Is it Batgirl or Catwoman? I don't fucking
they
remember.
They got both Catwomen. They got both Catwomen to come back. They got everybody. They got the whole cast to come back and record. So it's definitely legit. You should definitely check it out.
Not Cesar Romero.
No,
though.
Sorry. Yes, sorry.
He died.
Well, no, they got him to come back too. They called him from the grave. They said, come on back, buddy. We got a role for you. And he's like, well.
And Adam West is, seance.
Well.
And he just went, brains. This is a zombie because he's dead.
And he's part of that Cesar Romero. Nope, that's a different Romero.
No.
George Romero.
Romero's Catwoman. All right. Also, learn how to spell her name, Deb.
Let's move on to some gaming news. Let's get this going.
Yes, I'm excited about this. Talk about this.
Sorry, there are three Catwomen in that fucking show. Like, they couldn't keep it like together. So
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Halle Berry. She's Anne Hathaway.
She's a fucking vampire.
And Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, they just couldn't keep that shit together.
I want to watch a movie of all three Catwoman playing Catwoman at the same time. Directed by the lady who did Wonder Woman.
I'm bring stealing that to this. I'm stealing this necklace. No, I'm stealing this necklace. No, I'm stealing this necklace.
And they're all in a band. And Josie.
Oh, here we go.
And Josie is the lead. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm moving on to games.
Sure.
Atari has announced that they are making a new console. What? Yeah. They have not made a gaming machine since the Jaguar. And so, like, out of nowhere, out of left field, they're like, you know what? I think it's a good idea, since all these powerhouses have just come out and was like, you know what? We just came out with the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X. Let's make a console ourselves, too.
By the way, do you remember us?
Yeah, please do.
Atari texted E3 and was like,
you up? Everyone remembers. Everyone remembers Atari.
Everyone and their mom remembers Atari, mostly because their mom was the last people of that era.
They're saying that this thing is going to be on par because it's PC-based, so... The PS4 is PC-based and also the Xbox. So they're in the right direction. There's more info coming, but all they did was release a video at E3 of it. And guess what? This fucking thing is going to have wood paneling.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh, just do it justice.
I want it to
give
be
us,
good.
Give us some sweet-ass Pac-Man.
Man, it
give
doesn't
us
even...
Some
I don't,
Space Invaders.
Like, if they don't even own those anymore.
No,
they don't. So they would have to. They would definitely have to make some deals. But if they could go ahead and remake everything in 4K, like throw it in a fucking on the Atari, I think this thing could be legit, right?
I would literally throw money at it. I really would.
So everybody thought that.
And you know why they're doing this? They're pushing it because if there was anything that was a telltale sign that companies are pushing for the last of the nostalgia people, right before we. You know, our spending power starts to peter off because we're starting families. is the Atari, right? Yeah. They're like one last push of huge.
I think
nostalgia.
This is the beginning.
Oh, I hope it is. But good God, if we are not the most nostalgic purchasers ever,
sure,
if they came out with a $30 Tamagotchi tomorrow, I would buy that fucking Tamagotchi.
If they came out with cassette tapes and a cassette tape player, I'd be on it.
Revamp that one cassette recorder that Macaulay Culkin has in Home Alone, and I used to own that.
And then you're fully in.
Mm-hmm.
So the video everybody thought was fake because the Atari didn't say anything. Like, they just put out a video, and everyone was like, oh, cool, they're making just like an NES classic. And then Atari came out and was like, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. We are making a true successor. And so, who knows? Maybe it'll be called the 3800.
I'm into it. Atari X 38X 1X.
The 2601.
And when you spell it out, it somehow spells Atari.
The X-Tari.
Shit. Okay. Have you guys paid attention to any of this Grand Theft Auto nonsense? Well, it's not really
nonsense.
No, this
is all new news to me.
Yeah, okay. This is definitely breaking news for me.
The internet is on fire right now because... Oh, God, yes.
Is that why my internet's shit tonight?
Yeah, that's why. It's because everybody's going against Take-Two right now. Everyone's not mad at Rockstar. They're mad at Take-Two, the publisher. Because what happened was, is that Grand Theft Auto has a huge modding scene. Huge. Huge, Tom. And there's a company that made something called Open 4, right? And it was hit with a cease and desist letter on June 5th. They had to bring it down. It's been going for years, and people have been using this for Machinima. They've been using it for modding and, you know, replacing cars and putting everything, you know, anything to do with modding uses this software. So they took it down and they said, you can't do this anymore. And people lost their fucking minds. If you go check out the Steam page right now, it is the game for GTA 5 is mostly negative.
That's the first time since it's been released ever.
It's not mostly, it's overwhelmingly negative. Sorry. Nice. There is so many bad reviews going on. Now Take-Two is they're needing to come back, and like they're putting out fires everywhere. They put out a release that only made people even more angry because they said, no, we did this because of the fact that the hackers are using it to damage the online and mod the online portion of the game, which the modding community was like, that represents 1% of the fucking people using this mod. And so it's war right now.
It's ridiculous.
But that's, I mean, like, I understand why people are frustrated, but at the same time, like, that 1% can fuck. I mean, literally, that's why they teach you in school, where it's like one person can ruin it for everybody, because if you don't, like, have, like, some sort of accountability with, like, your peers and your friends and stuff, like, they'll fuck it up for you, and you can absolutely lose access to stuff. I mean, if the mod is, or if this is being used to mod the game unfairly for everyone else, if they weren't doing anything and people were losing matches left and right because modders found out how to fuck the, you know, the system and win all the things and get all the things and totally just fuck up their ranking system that people have been working on and all this nonsense for years and years and years now that it's been online, like, they'd be bitching about that. This is a lose-lose for Take-Two because people are just very immature and get butthurt about stupid things like a fucking video game.
So I agree. There has been an update that actually came out today. This is Take-Two's Rockstar Games provided an official statement clarifying, saying Take-Two's actions were not specifically targeting single-player mods. Unfortunately, Open 4 enables recent malicious mods to allow harassment of players and interfere with the GTA Online experience. So I guess they're going to be working on it here because there's something called Force Hacks. And so Take-Two Interactive, effective immediately, we're ceasing all maintenance, development, and distribution of Force Hacks, cheat menu services. And I guess that has caused the issues with the online portion of the game.
The thing is, there's a thing called OpenIV that people also use. And this absolutely does nothing to deter online hacks. So what they're doing is they're just impeding actual progress for themselves partnered with the game.
Is it called OpenIV? Because I've been saying Open 4.
It's probably Open 4. Maybe I've just been calling it OpenIV.
We'll call it
Open,
you know what?
4 is fine.
Open whatever. Open this.
OpenIV.
OpenIV.
So OpenIV is still gonna provide people with online hacks.
That's what we're talking about. But now that we're talking about the same thing, that's the program we're talking about. That's what we're saying. It's like, and the thing is, like, I mean, even if there was a secondary one that people were using, a lot of the mods and stuff happened to use Open 4, IV, and like,
if.
Open if.
And so that's what the problem is that it's that is affecting all the mods and stuff, and that's why they took the game offline for a little bit, it looks like, because it's just.
Move to a different development.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just gonna sprout up someplace
for sure. I mean, absolutely, but normally it's like you can just get a hack, but this is like they're using that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like they found a loophole within that.
They've completely piggyback off of Caleb saying that they would still use it. The developer of OpenIV IV has completely shut down and removed the modding tool. So
it's weird. She just should have just left it up and did like a warning saying you'll not be able to access online play.
Yeah, couldn't they just do that though? Couldn't they just be like, hey, listen, instead of shutting it all the way down.
That's what makes so much sense.
Couldn't they just be like, we're going to take out the portion that allows you guys to fuck with online?
Yeah.
That seems fair. But maybe they'll work on it, and then the reviews will go back.
But again, you have people that do the private servers, like the RP servers.
That's true, too.
On Twitch, you know, you can't just do that.
That's true, too. Yep.
Anne said earlier in the chat, just to kind of echo what I was saying earlier, is that one person can ruin it for everybody. She says, that's how my entire class got detention for a week. Which I want to know more about that story. What did that one person do that fucked your whole class?
The entire class.
That's a good question. That's a good question for the end show. What one thing has someone screwed up for everybody for you?
Save that for the Q&A. E3 2017 was extra crowded this year with almost 70,000 attendees. Public passes are yet to be confirmed for next year, but I'm sure it's going to be. Did you guys see? I was looking at photos for the queue lines, and they did not organize this very well for the extra people, because this is the first year that they sold the public tickets.
I had friends that went.
Holy shit! Was their experience like kind of crazy?
It looked like going to a theme park on a real busy day. You know what I mean? Like on a free gift day. I could tell that he probably spent 75% of his time in lines. But good God, he saw a lot of stuff. He met a lot of people, which was cool. So he got pictures with industry people and game makers celebs and stuff like
it's,
that. So
like this sort of convention, like, cause it's not necessarily a convention, right? Like this whole conference is so different than anything we go to. Like, cause even when we went to New York Comic Con, we went as guests, or when Ed and I went to Celebration, you know, you still have to wait in line to get into stuff because you're not, you know, we're not press or whatever. Yeah. But I know that the McElroy brothers, they all went for Polygon, and they had to make reservations for the games they had to play, even as press. Like I don't think they had to wait in line, but they still had to make reservations.
Yeah, you have to book your sessions with the game companies.
Yeah, and so they had to do all that nonsense. But you know, Griffin and Nick Robinson from Polygon, they streamed while on the floor, and it was pretty crazy. It didn't necessarily look to me any busier on the floor than, say, again, New York Comic Con, because it's probably the busiest convention I've ever been to with the 150,000 people that were there. It was insane. Yeah. But there were lines for stuff, but it was all people that were just I agree with what you're saying about like the theme park, where these people are in line not necessarily to see a panel, but to get like a 10-minute playthrough of some new game or whatever, you know, like to try out something that caught their eye during one of the panels or something. And I that's pretty cool. The inside, I highly recommend going to find that video on YouTube. The inside of this place was fucking bonkers. The shit they had set up there was some of the coolest shit I've ever seen set up like at a convention.
It really looked awesome.
It was insane. It
looked
crazy.
Like they put a lot of production quality into it. More so than the other
fucking money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Nintendo Switch wall, just the wall itself, was like the size of the convention hall, and it was just this huge fucking Switch controller like background. It was dope. It was fucking huge.
And the fidget spinner vendors? Oh my goodness. I'm just kidding. I don't think
you don't even joke. You know there were some there.
you know there were 48 different.
Well, this was E3's Hail Mary, because a lot of companies were pulling out. Their main hall was getting emptied. And they had to do something, because last year's totals for visitors was 50,000, which isn't anything to scoff at. But at the same time, they were like, we need to press, though.
That's 50,000 press and industry people.
But
that's a fucking lot.
What better way, though, to be like, hey, let's make sure that these people stay and do this every year than to bring the fans in. So it hit 70,000 fans this year. That was the attendance. So,
not bad
at all. And I think that this will make E3 stay around for a lot longer. So,
I'm okay with it, especially if they let us go next year.
Yep.
I want to go to an E3 before I die.
Oh, me too. That'd be bucket list. It's a weird bucket list thing, but it's one of my bucket lists.
Oh, it's a totally understandable bucket list thing.
Yeah, I would love to go, especially now with either that or if we could somehow get press.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to get those Polygon numbers. But again, you know what? I've seen people at press at these conventions and all the stuff like that we go to, even if it's like, you know, it's E3, it's different, but like, surely we talk about video games every week.
What? No, get out of here.
Yeah, that's gotta be good enough, right?
Do we need to talk about video games now in this episode?
Well, we might need to. I got
because you know Atari is coming out with a new console.
The next story here, I kind of wanted to get opinions from everybody to see what you felt about it. I think it's kind of respectful. But Call of Duty World War II, the single player will feature swastikas. And it will feature all the historical attributes from that time in order to tell a story. And they said in this article that, you know, we want to be respectful to the people who lost their lives. We have a historian on staff who is, you know, walking us through every single thing that we do. And we want it to be correct, and we want it to be right and historical. Online, though, the multiplayer will feature no swastikas and will allow race and gender customizations across both factions. And the reasoning behind this is they said that, you know, we want to be respectful of all to everybody's race, everybody's color. So we're not including certain aspects like the swastika because of the fact that we don't want to offend people in certain regions of the world.
Sure. Call of Duty's
overly. That seems a little overly sensitive to me.
Yeah, I also
because
think
it's not. I mean, if we are going to praise one game coming out this year for the fact that it takes place in like not necessarily Midwest, but the West, Northwest of the United States, with some fucking hillbilly hobuck, you know, Christian fucktards that are starting the church and like killing people as like a cult and stuff, and we're like, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah, but no swastikas, even though that actually fucking happened. It's ridiculous to me. Like, I'm all for the Far Cry 5. I can't fucking wait to go kill some white Christians. Are you kidding me? Yes, thank you, God. But, like, at the same time, like,
some white cultists.
They're not Christians. You can't say that. White
Christians.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't say that. Doug just wants to. I think Doug just actually wants to kill Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who would you blame me? They've done some fucked up shit.
Easy now.
Easy.
But if you're going to go fight the Nazis and then Nazis like aren't dressed like Nazis, then they're not Nazis anymore.
No,
I mean, I guess in the game,
they're keeping campaign though. They're keeping campaign. They're going to have them in campaign.
Right.
No, and they're going to have mostly white people who fought. Although, I mean, there are plenty of different races that fought on the ally side from World War II.
Sure.
They're just called Axis.
But then it was all Aryan white dudes on the other side. Like, well, I don't think the Germans should really get a chance to choose what race they are.
For sure. But, I mean, look at my counter argument, my devil's advocate to your side would be look at the player base and what the open chat is in kind of the multiplayer world. You don't have to play as Nazis to throw some Nazi references in
or to hear
some anti-Semitic comments. So I feel like what they're trying to do is sedate that kind of gameplay, that kind of personality.
I think that's a big part of it.
Games.
I'd agree with that. I think that there's a chance for people to only choose the Axis side and then spread more hate, and instead of just playing a game, they make it their own. And I don't know, but at the same time, I agree with Doug as well. Like, I don't think both sides, I'm sure, have great points of why they're doing it and why they're not doing certain things. But in the chat, I think Pixie Dust does say it's a great compromise. Like, you get the single player game with the, for the historian aspects, and then the multiplayer is just the multiplayer.
Yeah, because I saw stuff in the trailer for it, and I was like, there are a lot of female soldiers in this trailer or gameplay or whatever I'd seen, and I was like, that's just not that's not prevalent. It's not historically as much as they're trying to become to boost off of the success of Battlefield 1. I feel like if you're really going to do it some justice, the reason why people love these World War II games is the historical accuracy, kind of throwing you into a fantastical version of historically accurate shit.
I also feel like if they're going to do that with this game, which is like, you know, it's the one of the, it's World War II, it's like one of the great wars, you know, along with World War I. It's up, but just like, didn't you have to change I feel like all following games have to change how they do multiplayer. It can't be like the US versus the terrorist anymore, you know what I mean? You can't have a team full of fucking like Muslims essentially, or people that are dressed like with headscarves and whatnot, going against a bunch of white dudes like you're or like Americans, because like that's what all the games have been like the last 10 years. Either it's an American like team going up against the Russians, or the, you know, people from like Afghanistan, so Pakistan, that, you know, Iraq, whatever.
That's a great point, because then that brings up the fact of like, well, does this start to make everything PC for in the multiplayer kind of genre? Like, are we going to have to change everything now because somebody is too sensitive and this makes everybody sensitive? And
that's why like Halo did it right. Red versus blue, man. Like, fucking keep it simple as shit.
It's true, but these are themed era period pieces that they're doing, and I get both sides. I get both sides to it. You're going to have pros and cons to the other.
When it's multiplayer, you're right. It's not necessarily important at all to the story in which you are fighting. I get that, because you're just playing against other people. But you know, I don't know, like.
Yeah, I just
other games,
feel like
though, if you're going to apply it to this, you have to apply it to your other titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. I do like the customizability in multiplayer. I think that you're right. It does have to do with some sort of sensitivity in 2017. But also, I mean, look at it. It is 2017. You're seeing the most cultural diversion, xenophobia that I think I've ever witnessed, you know, in my short time on this earth. Probably not, you know, other generations, but I feel like we're about to circle around into a huge rift. I mean, especially with certain presidencies, certain leadership of different countries that are promoting this kind of fear-mongering, this all Muslims are bad, all people who are foreign and not a U.S. citizen are, you know, somehow less. And I feel like this is probably their attempt. Someone in the PR room really stood up and made like a riveting speech at the last Call of Duty meeting going, hey, we got to do something maybe to not promote the zeitgeist, so to speak.
Yeah, that's good points. Good points all around. Good points all around. I think we all agree that it's not a bad thing.
I think we can all agree that we cannot wait for Far Cry 5 to go up into Montana and to kill white Christians.
No. Stop God saying white it, Christian.
Why stop saying that?
They're praying to Jesus.
No, they're not.
Actually, no, I think they are.
They are.
they're definitely showing the radical side of religious.
The personal views of members of the 8-bit
geek. You go back and you want to talk about fucking history. You go back in history and you look at the people that have done the most fucked up shit across the board, across history, white fucking Christians, across the board. Fucked up shit. More than any fucking Muslim or anything ever. Like, and it's this whole like, I'm a white Christian, so I'm offended. No, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people in like the history who have like literally just gone from like country to country, raping and pillaging, all in the name of Christ.
No, I mean, it's hard to argue with it. I would never label those people actual Christians, because obviously we know what a Christian should be. We know what a full-on Muslim person should be. I mean, if you're looking at Islamic law and Christian law, they're not too different. They're really not. I mean, if you look at Judaic law, it's not that crazy.
No, not all. A lot of the major world religions are all very, 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 very similar. Even you can go back like to Buddhism. It's like it's.
I think Far Cry
good,
is gonna
be good to people.
Yeah, I think Far Cry is going to do a good job of putting in light, especially in this day and age, kind of what we're talking about with World War II, where we're at. Like, we're not. No one is above becoming a radical based on their belief. You know what I mean? There are plenty of Christians out there who are, I mean, people who are actively in it. What are you looking around for, Kevin?
Just trying to find the way out.
I'm trying to find a fire extinguisher.
He's trying to look and put this. We just got like real into.
Can we talk about Killer Instinct now?
Well, Killer Instinct is part of.
I can't wait to kill those. Just kidding.
Jeer the window. Anthony's like literally do your marky mark and jump out the window.
I just have to say, I'm just very excited for a video game where the bad guy isn't a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, is not a terrorist.
Well, those people are most definitely terrorists.
Yeah, like... no, never mind. Never mind. What we assume a terrorist.
Why are we still on this?
Because Jared,
because it's relevant, Jared. Yeah. Because it makes you uncomfortable. This is a conversation that's actually worth having. Not let's let's talk about movie numbers for 20 minutes.
Hey, yeah, I think
the conversation will be back next week, and Caleb will fill it in for me.
No, I think the conversation is good. I just don't think that it. There's a different way to say things.
I guess Deb's upset, so she's leaving now. So.
Well, we sprinkle in the funny in with the actual serious issue. So it's hard to tell where we actually stand on this. I don't think Doug is going out right now and plotting to kill some Christians.
Yeah.
White Christians, excuse me.
So Killer Instinct is headed to Steam. And that's gonna be fun, a cool fighting game.
I don't think I've ever played a Killer Instinct game.
Seriously?
I did. You didn't play the one back in the day, back on the N64?
Not that I remember.
Or no, was it N64? No, it was Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Did you guys see? Hold on, real quick. Did you guys see that The Rock is making a movie based on Rampage, the video game?
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Totally down.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show. I just know that like 8-Bit Geek follows him on Instagram and he posted something about it. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me? What? I'm excited.
I'm down.
I love
it. Let's see. What else we got? Forza 7 is going to require 100 gigabytes of free space for that game. You wanted 4K? Well, fuck your hard drive. yeah, I guess already Halo 5 requires 100 gigs and Gears of War 4 is 120 gigs.
That's so bananas.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Gaming is going to, we're definitely going to need like 20 terabyte drives soon in order to hold all this fucking shit.
Well, I mean, we're releasing more and more memory every 2 years for cheaper costs. So
Ant
maybe
says
it'll...
Warcraft is over 100 gigs. Yeah, but that game's also been around for 30 years, Ants.
And also, it's not that graphically intensive, isn't it? I don't know. It's been
it's just that's all the expansions and all that shit like piled up into one big thing.
Yeah.
But Forza out the gate.
Yeah. Forza's like that. Oh, hey, let's remind people of what graphics can look like.
But the only purpose of the game, they're not very good otherwise. I mean, they're just a racing, but they look pretty as
the strategy. It looks gorgeous, especially the rain. Oh my god, when you have
that was the best part of that whole of that intro. Like, because we were watching the EA thing, we're like, oh great, or no, Microsoft, like, oh great, racing game right off the top. Holy shit! that looks really good.
That's the thing I've always said with a Forza game is, wow, that looks great. I'm totally not going to buy this game. It better come free with my Xbox
I got one of them free with one of my Xboxes, and I played it. I was like, you know what? Okay, it was free. I'll play. I'll race. I did like three races, and I was like, I'm good.
I'm okay. Like,
I am done with this. That was very pretty to look at, and now I'm done.
last news story of the day, and we will say thank you, Caleb, for being here. Phil Spencer wants to bring original Xbox games and Game Pass subscriptions to the PC. What is the point of an Xbox if you're going to bring every game and every service to the PC?
Don't get an Xbox. That's the point.
Pretty much, right? Like, that's, like, you know, I've been back and forth, like, am I going to get a new Xbox when it comes out? Because it is, that is technically a cheaper option than building a new computer to play these games in 4K. But when you do this, what is the fucking point? Like, what is, why?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna force Xbox sales or Xbox purchases of titles to be solely exclusive. It's gonna be like, oh, here are 10 exclusives that we're not gonna port to PC because we can't.
I don't know if they have. I mean, if they're, it's not necessarily an Xbox exclusive. They're gonna be.
Yeah, they've already announced.
They said all their games and all their exclusives will be cross-platform. Yeah. Will be.
Maybe they're just doing old school Xbox games then.
Well, this is the thing. The Game Pass is all 360 games and Xbox originals. So if they bring that, then all those games would probably be included in the Game Pass for $10 a month.
$10 a month. Too?
Wow.
It's such
360 isn't old enough to be doing that.
So, well, there's a lot of 360 games that people want to play still.
I mean, 360s are over 10 years old, man. We had them when we were in the apartment together 10 years ago.
And it's got, they also have Xbox One games in the game service as well. So, I think people are really looking into it. But if you have it on the PC as well, I don't need the fucking Xbox. Thanks, guys. So,
it's kind of what I'm gathering. Like, I may as well just, like, because I could.
Might as well
put it all on the card.
Yeah, build a gaming PC.
And... build one. Yeah, because Ed sent me the link last week to use the PC like building service or whatever it is. You could do it through Best Buy. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not necessarily you build it; it's already pre-built. But it's
you pick your parts.
I think so. I think you can go in and customize some of it, but they have like a a base one that's like, you know, the 1080 and like an i7 and like a. Like there's like 2 terabytes of space inside or whatever. It's a pretty fucking huge thing. You know, it was like $1,600. You know, it was stupid how much it was, but that's still less than my laptop right now, and I'm way more powerful. So
yeah.
Put it on the card.
Put it on the card.
I might, you know, because then I mean, I still have to get a 4K monitor. But if I can wait till November around like Good Friday, those 4K monitors are gonna be. Under $300 easily.
Mine was close to $300.
For which one? The monitor. Yeah, the monitors.
I was at like Target this last week or whatever, and they had like a Samsung 65-inch 4K TV for $699.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here. So that's $500 cheaper than the 50-inch 1080 I bought. 3 years ago.
I'll tell you, since I've invested the money that I did into my PC, I have yet to, other than Horizon Zero Dawn, I've yet to pick up the PlayStation controller for my PlayStation.
Sorry, I must have called it Good Friday. Apparently it's Good Friday. Apparently it's Black Friday. My bad. Shut the fuck up, Ed.
Good Friday.
Let's see. The
Black Friday is racist.
Good Friday's.
Good Friday's a good Friday. You know why?
Because don't say it. No more. And you can't do it. You're just going to lose all of your fan. In my episode, you're going to lose all the fan base in my episode.
I'm just inspired by your hatred for.
No. No, please stop.
My hatred for Nazis.
We're going to have our own PR fucking team on this one.
I swear to God. I didn't do it, Jer. But see, you were afraid
of it. I don't think we will.
Me.
I think we're fine. Hating them is the cool thing to do right now, didn't you know?
Oh, God. Oh, Here we go. And now I'm out the window.
Okay. Well, that's our show, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm Jeremy.
Awesome, sensitive motherfuckers.
It's not. No, it's about. We have a huge audience, and things are. You gotta
and
tread
I'm
lightly.
And I'm Caleb.
We've already learned this about. We already learned this about the last time we did this about politics. Now we brought up religion. It's two things you don't talk about.
You don't spit in people's food, and you don't talk about people's religion.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Caleb.
Kevin, say something.
And I'm Kevin. Somebody earlier in the chat said that I sounded like Kevin a little bit. I'm okay with that.
Hugs, love, and all that bullshit. We'll see you next time.